Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey, everybody, we got a great one today. You know, for a change, my guest is friend of the show, Mark Leibovich of The Atlantic, who's always great to take a look at the midterms. Now, we're 5 months out, and there's a lot of races to cover. We also talk about the parties and where they stand and what voters are really thinking about. It's sometimes hard to say if Trump wants his party to prevail. He was asked this week what he thought about inflation going up to 4.2%. His response, "I love the inflation." Now, why would he say that? And an even bigger question is, why did he have to put "the" in front of it? He claims he said it was because inflation is going to go down when the war ends. And when will that be? Well, I'm recording this on Friday, and he's saying that a peace deal is imminent. Of course, I want that to be true, but I've got to admit I'm skeptical. I mean, I really want to be fair to the man. No, I don't. You wonder why? Oh, could it be because he says that every week? And if he miraculously ends the war before this episode airs on Sunday, I forgive him for putting the in front of inflation. So Trump said about Graham Platner, and this is a quote, "He's worse than any human being that's ever run for office." Why doesn't a member of the press ask him, "Mr. President, are you counting you?" I mean, that would be a good way to go out, wouldn't it? If you wanted to leave in a blaze of glory. Now, Mark and I go into a number of races, including one in my home state of Minnesota, where I've endorsed Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. The primary isn't until August 4th, so she's still got a lot of campaign to run before she gets the nomination. She's been endorsed by the Democratic Farmer Labor Party at the convention. And for good reason. Peggy served on the Minneapolis School Board. She was state legislature. She ran the Children's Defense Fund and has been the lieutenant governor for 8 years in Minnesota. She is at heart a great legislator. She led the effort to increase the minimum wage and provide paid family leave. She's truly a champion of family values. Now, the first time I met Peggy was well before I ran for the Senate. Peggy contacted me to invite me to a Native American conference. Now, on SNL, my comedy partner, Tom Davis, and I had done a bit on the show with the premise of, what if the Indians had won? I played the host of a news interview called Powwow with the Press, and Tom was the chairman of the Bureau of White Man Affairs, and in the interview, I challenged him on the names of the Major League lacrosse teams, like the Milwaukee Dagos, who Tom described as a violent, greasy people who wear black pointy moccasins, and the Cleveland Kikes, whose mascot is a screaming rabbi who really knows the value of a buffalo chip. So I showed the bit to Peggy and asked her if we could show the bit at the conference. And to my surprise, she said, "Yeah, sure." And it was a big hit, and she and I just clicked. So when I ran for the Senate, I asked Peggy to be my Native American advisor. We have 11 reservations in the state, and Paul Wellstone had been on the Indian Affairs Committee, so I wanted to be on the Indian Affairs Committee. So one of Peggy's first tasks was to prep me for my powwow, my first powwow. They're called powwows. And so Peggy tells me a powwow is a celebration of our heritage. There's a huge circle with drums. People come out in their regalia. First, there are veterans American Indians volunteer for military service more than any other group in this country. We have World War II. This is a few years ago. We had the World War II veterans come out, then the Korean War veterans and the Vietnam vets and then Iraq. And then everyone comes out and circles around and dances. And so she says to me, don't dance. And I say, don't dance. She said, yeah, don't dance. And I say, why not? And she says, Governor Plenty danced 2 years ago, and they haven't stopped making fun of him since. I say, okay, don't dance. And she says, don't dance, don't dance. So I go up to the Red Lake Reservation just before. I get there before the powwow starts, just right before. Exactly what Peggy describes, drummers begin playing, the veterans come out, people circle around, and I'm standing there on the periphery, and a guy dances up to me and says, why don't you come in and dance? And I said, well, maybe. And he said, we'll respect you more if you dance. So there's a break. The chairman of the tribe introduces me. Everyone gets into these bleachers. Peggy asked me, you know, what are you going to say? And I said, well, I'm going to talk about, you know, the treaties we've abrogated. And she goes, yeah, well, they've heard that before. They're going to want you to be funny. And I said, well, my team has told me not to be funny. And she says, they're going to want you to be funny. So the chairman introduces me. And then I say, you know, we abrogated all these treaties. We're supposed to fully fund health care and fully fund education. And they're looking at me like, yeah, we've heard this before. So I realized, oh, Peggy's right. So I said, well, look, I'm Jewish. No reaction. And I said, let me try that again. I'm Jewish. Get a huge applause and laughter. And I go, okay, Peggy's right. And then I proceed, you know, to be kind of funny, get some laughs. And I'm going like, this is great. And I say to them, I've been told not to dance, but I'm going to make a deal with you. I will dance if every one of you agrees not to make fun of me after I leave. So I need a show of hands. Well, about 2/3 raise their hand. I said, no, it's got to be everyone. And everyone raised their hand. And I'm going like, I'm a genius. This is great. And at that point, one of the drummers starts drumming, and then another drum and another, and everyone starts howling with laughter because they know that now I'm going to have to dance alone. I know it too, and I can't believe this is, I'm thinking to myself, what an idiot. I should have listened to Peggy, but I have to do it. And I start dancing, and everyone keeps laughing, and I'm going around, and I can't look at anybody. And then a little kid comes up to me, a 5-year-old boy, and he takes my hand and starts dancing with me. And then some more kids come in, and then everyone else joins in, and we're dancing, and I become a dancing fool. I dance like 4 or 5 dances. And then a woman dances up to me and says, you dance like a white guy. And I said, what about the agreement? She said, the agreement was we don't make fun of you after you leave. And that's what it was like. I reported back to Peggy, and she was very mad at me. But sincerely, I'm so glad Peggy is running to represent the people of Minnesota in the Senate, and she's going to be a great senator. Well, we've got a great one today. You know, for a change, our friend Mark Leibovich joins us. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Al. How you doing?
Okay. It's great to have you back on the show one last time. Let's talk about the midterms, okay? We speak, we don't know all the players. There's still a few primaries on the way. What I'm hoping to do today is give my audience a chance to look into where things stand right now, mm-hmm. and give them a sense of what to look for as the midterms approach. We'll start with a state of the parties. Talk about Trump for a second.
Oh, let's talk about Trump.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into some specific races.
Yeah, I mean, Trump, like he has been pretty much for the last decade, is the single overriding factor, issue, person, you know, in this whole race. I mean, he seems to be the biggest asset that Democrats have going for them.
Yeah.
Because he's given them a lot to work with, and his numbers are way down. They're like in the 30s.
Now, you covered the race in California, the primaries in California, and you wrote a great piece in The Atlantic about Trump, of course. About 5 days in, after it takes him a while to count there. He said that the voting was rigged.
Yes, he did. Yeah, we heard this before. No, I mean, basically every time it takes a while to count votes, which is true in a lot of states, especially when mail-in ballots are happening and it takes a while to process them, and especially in a state so big as California, Trump is going to cast aspersions. He's going to say, oh, well, we're in the lead, so let's just stop the counting now, whereas, as often happens, I mean, Democrats have a higher rate of sending in ballots by mail, partly because their standard bearer is not always telling them how corrupt and unreliable mail-in voting is.
Right.
Yeah, you have this situation where it looks like if a Republican is in the lead, something is being stolen from him or her.
And of course, Democrats waited a while because things were shaping up late, and they wanted to know who to vote for in this weird system where both parties are on the ballot. So Trump was complaining because Spencer Pratt was running for mayor.
Yep.
Okay, in a city that is 18% Republican. He's a Republican.
He is, yeah.
And he said the fact that Pratt didn't win said it was fixed. Now, I want to play just this great clip of Trump with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press.
Mm.
Here we go.
Your elections in this country, we're like a third world country. Your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked, and so is ABC. And CBS and CNN.
But Mr. President,
your one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits because I've had enough.
Okay. Sometimes you just forget what a dick he is.
It's not even a dick. It was just like, it's so, you just kind of shake your head. I mean, that was such a spectacle. I mean, if anyone who watched the video of that, one thing that I do think maybe didn't get enough attention was at the very end, Trump gets up. He's kind of hunched over. He kind of balances himself a little bit on Kristen Welker as he's walking off, and he damn near keeled over. I thought, I mean, the president of the United States almost keeled over while storming off the set. Well, he didn't storm off because he wasn't moving fast enough to storm off. And I thought that was kind of a new dimension that we've seen.
And the sleeping and that.
The sleeping, yeah. He
did you see where Ted Lieu showed Marco Rubio a video of him sleeping, and when Marco Rubio was speaking at a cabinet meeting, and he was asleep, and he asked Rubio about that, and Rubio said he doesn't sleep enough. Mm-hmm. He calls me in the middle of the night. He calls me at 3 a.m. He wasn't, and he's not asleep there. And then Lou said, "You're lying," which I think was the wrong thing to say. I think he should have just said, "Let's play it again."
Yeah.
And tell me if another person might think he was sleeping or something like that.
Or just say, Senator, what are we seeing here? I mean, you're not asleep. Just help me understand. You're telling me that he's not asleep. I mean, maybe Rubio is making you could say he's making a valid point when he says maybe the president doesn't sleep enough because he's up at all hours and blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean he's not asleep sitting there
in a cabinet meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so Trump's approval rating is now mid-30s.
Right. Yeah, it seems to be getting sort of gradually lower.
Yeah, and we're about $50 billion into the war, and yet he keeps jabbering about like the Arc de Triomphe and UFC fight, and he's not on the ballot. Are Republicans demoralized, do you think?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, like, they know exactly what they're dealing with here. They've been dealing with the exact same thing. I mean, first of all, it is kind of stark that you know, the economy is what it is. Inflation is what it is.
4.2% today.
The war, I mean, gas prices, like, boom. It's like, it's all right there. And the guy, like, is a broken record about this ballroom, about the reflecting pool, about, the UFC fight. I mean, go down the list. He just does not care at all. And he's really thrown it in the Republicans' faces. I mean, it's not just endorsing, not John Cornyn and not Bill Cassidy.
Well, you know, I think if someone votes to convict you, excuse. Cornyn, I don't think he had a real excuse.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So, okay, he voted to convict him, but I mean, but it is a stark lesson. I mean, how can you not be demoralized? I mean, how can you have any self-respect at all when the president is putting you through this? And I think on some level, the president's got to be really kind of enjoying what he does to these people that he fully owns. And, you know, it just becomes, the more ridiculous it is, the more vivid that is also.
Well, like the vote they took on whether or not to approve the slush fund in the Senate. And now evidently everybody had yelled at Blanche, but they voted to keep it.
So Todd Blanche, the acting attorney general, who Trump has now nominated to be the full-time attorney general, he apparently got an earful from a bunch of senators who wouldn't in their weekly Republican lunch. And of course, the senators were would never have been that crosswise with Trump directly. But I mean, he sent a surrogate there. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, this anti-weaponization or whatever the hell you call it, bill or fund, it's insane, first of all. I mean, and it brings January 6th right back into the news, a topic that no Republican wants to talk about or should want to talk about. You know, it's very much of a piece where Trump only cares about either his own pet projects or his own enrichment.
Well, speaking of enrichment, I mean, you saw the latest thing where Don Jr. invested in a startup in rare earth metals. And then the Pentagon invested $620 million in that company. Peter Navarro, the White House advisor to the president and friend of Don Jr.'s, got that done.
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah.
And the stock doubled and corruption's going to be a big...
Yeah, but you need to, I mean, it is, but you have so much to work with. I mean, the thing is, Democrats, I mean, you can say corruption, and the corruption is there, and it's quite evident, but after a while, it becomes kind of like this bottleneck, right? I mean, no, you can't expect anyone to keep straight all of this. I mean, it's mind-boggling when taken together, but I mean, I think Democrats, I don't know if this is the right approach or not, but they seem to think, all right, let's stay focused on inflation. Let's stay focused on billionaires and how bad they are, which, you know, it does lack a certain imagination because, Democrats have been sort of playing this same tune for a long time. And also, the word affordability, that's something we didn't hear a year ago, but since Mamdani got elected on affordability, that's something all Democrats have to say as often as possible. And I don't know, maybe that's the way to go.
Are Democrats getting too confident? I mean, you've said this, I think you wrote an article about, and I don't know how to think about that. I mean, they have a reason to be confident, I think.
They have a big reason to be confident.
Yeah.
But they also have a reason to forget. I think this confidence can make them forget that they have dug a massive hole for themselves, certainly in the 2024 election, right? I mean, they hurt themselves and put themselves at such a deficit that in ways that, you know, yes, maybe there's hope for the future, but that's still evident. And Trump is using whatever leverage and advantage he has to do just unconscionable stuff that is very, very hard to undo. And also, Democrats lose a lot. I mean, they have had a lot of very unpleasant election nights in the last decade or so. Now, granted, midterms have gone a lot better for them, especially when Trump, when Trump is not on the ballot, Republicans don't.
And he won't be on the ballot in the midterm. He wasn't in 18 where they lost 40 seats. So maybe it's going to reflect that.
Yes, although it also, they're probably not going to win 40 seats, partly because a lot of what Democrats have already won in special elections and in recent elections have been winning, you know, pretty swingy districts. I mean, the only reason they were able to keep the Senate in,
well, and also the gerrymandering. That's going to net the Republicans anywhere from 5 to 10 seats, right?
Yeah, they have a much easier lift, I think. I don't think that you're, I mean, look, it could be a very good night for Democrats in November, whatever the date of the election is. But I think they still have a long way to go. And I also think that the dysfunction we're seeing within the Democratic Party, which remains real, could foreshadow, you know, a similar kind of shit show in 2028, right, as we've seen in California.
Well, we
you're a Democrat.
I'm a Democrat. You're a journalist.
I'm a journalist. I don't belong to any particular party whatsoever, right, or organized party whatsoever.
And so you're not rooting for anybody.
I'm rooting against a lot of people.
Okay. That's fair to say.
Yeah.
Should Democrats run on immigration? That's a good question, huh?
I think it is. It's a good issue for them. I mean, it wasn't a couple of years ago. I mean, they said they wanted the border secured, and Trump, I guess, did that, and he's gotten credit.
And I think Biden dropped the ball on that. Biden, I mean, I think there's no question about that. No,
and talk to any border state senator, member of Congress, Democrat, and they will say that. And I think that that's true. But I think Trump, like he's done with so many things, is just overreached. And I think these ICE incursions into communities and just...
Well, in Minneapolis, of course.
Minneapolis, especially.
Where I'm from is... ICE and CBP, what they did was obscene.
It was obscene, and it was politically a massive, I think, pushback from Democrats and certainly by Minnesotans. I mean, I think that has become a rallying point. And so, that is no longer a Republican issue. And I'm not convinced, even though they have this new bill and these new, you know, this new immigration sort of funding and stuff, I'm not convinced that Republicans won't just start overreaching again.
I think Democrats should run on it, but they shouldn't run on abolish ICE. We should be talking about reforming ICE.
Yeah.
In Texas, Paxton and the state legislature added supposedly 5 seats for Republicans. Yeah. I don't know if it's, I hear it's not going to be all 5, that it may be that, because Latinos, especially, but other people, young men and people have moved on immigration, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, the demographics that Trump apparently made big gains with in 2024, with Latinos and young voters, seems to have turned pretty hard in the other direction against him. So, that could certainly move the needle on a couple of congressional races in Texas.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mark Leibovich of The Atlantic.
When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 a month, the first thing they ask is, what's the catch? And honestly, there isn't one. No gimmicks, no gotchas, no surprise fees buried in your bill. Just unlimited talk, text, and data, fast and reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team that actually has your back. This is Thomas and Franken, and you've heard me talk about Mint Mobile before. They looked at everything that's wrong with wireless and just fixed it. You can bring your current phone and keep your number, so there's no hassle switching. Then choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to that painful monthly bill for good. Premium wireless service for $15 a month. It really is that simple. If I needed a new wireless plan, I would start with Mint Mobile. Go to mintmobile.com/franken and get 3 months of premium wireless for just $15 a month. Again, that's mintmobile.com/franken. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/franken. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
And we are back with Mark Leibovich. If the Democrats win the majority, what should they investigate? Should they investigate the Trump family corruption?
I think that wouldn't be bad. I mean, I think that that would be a good sort of place to center their things. I mean, I'm not sure it would be a great idea to do impeachment immediately, as many people are calling.
I don't think so either. I think people don't care about, because he won't get, you know, he won't get convicted.
He won't get convicted.
So why do it? I think we shouldn't, I think we Democrats should do hearings on corruption and on the family corruption. And also his pals, but I don't think they should make as big a deal about it. It should be one of their things, but because there's so much other stuff to be doing hearings on.
Yeah, impeachment. You know, kind of been there, done that. I don't think it has the same outrage value than it might have before.
I think it'll be seen as a waste of time, and I think Democrats should be highlighting what they want to do in 2028. Nothing they pass in the House will become law.
Correct.
The Senate, even if Democrats take the Senate, there, and I don't think Democrats get rid of the filibuster, but even if they did and they pass something, then that gets vetoed.
That gets vetoed.
And then it's dead.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I do think probably the biggest thing here, in my view, if the Senate goes Democratic, just the confirmations and certainly the judges. I mean, that would be
huge.
And you know, it can't be overstated. So anyway, I'd be very sort of intentional about hearings that lend themselves to real unanswerable questions from people who look like idiots. And the Trump administration and the Trump family and Trump associates are pretty heavy with people who don't probably think on their feet all that well and who might not be very good in hearing settings when they're cornered and when they're under oath and so forth. So I think that's probably the best opportunity they would have if they win the House.
So, I mean, so what should they be going after?
I would say, you know, corruption, meaning just the self-dealing thing, just the going over, like trying to figure out where these funds are going. I mean, what are these people doing?
Should we be having like just hearings on, you know, these cuts to Medicaid? I mean, what they've done to people, because they cut $900 billion over 10 years to Medicaid. And this really, really hurts people. And about getting like losing the subsidies to just the ACA premiums.
Yeah, I mean, sure, bring it on. I mean, not to mention that, and hospital closures in rural communities are a big part of this. I mean, I think that material is rich. I mean, the problem is it's not. I mean, people, like a lot of people, would dismiss it as in the weeds a little bit, just because Medicaid, Medicare are complicated issues.
Sure.
Budget issues, and you know, not everyone is eager to tune into that. But
okay, yeah, I mean, the fair enough.
Rich, but it's also that is the home turf for Democrats. I mean, healthcare, just affordability, just how to make your life, you know, functional at all. And so Democrats, if they win the House, will have the opportunity to sort of put that issue front and center.
Now, do you think maybe that Trump has been kind of lazy about working for Republicans so far, that he just thinks he can steal the election? Are you worried about
it? Seems to be very hard to steal an election. I mean, it's not hard for Trump to accuse every election that goes the Democrats' way of being something that is stolen. But yeah, I don't think that I think he'll try. I think all kinds of mischief.
He asked for the voter rolls of all the states and didn't get them, and mainly got them in red states. But red states have purple districts, so he can go in those purple districts and they can expunge people from the rolls, right?
No question. And also a lot of these purple districts they have Republican judges. They have Trump appointed judges. They have Republican governors. I mean, so Trump potentially could have some real partners in this, whether it's Greg Abbott or Ron DeSantis or you know, very partisan governors in states that he's done well in and that have a lot of swing districts in them. So, I mean, I do think, as we've talked about, Democrats seem to be prepared. They seem to be pretty well lawyered, but I don't think they know fully what they're dealing with. And I think you can assume that Trump will attempt anything he can. But they're not, I mean, this is not exactly a well-oiled machine, meaning Trump's legal and sort of challenging election machine. I mean, he has not been he's not been successful in the past about this.
I think the Justice Department isn't their strength. I mean, other than
you don't think.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of these races. I'm going to mainly focus on Senate races. So Democrats have to pick up four, right? A net of four. Okay.
A net of four, yeah.
Okay. So Michigan, to me, is might be a tough one.
Might be a tough one. Yeah. Michigan. So Michigan is now is controlled by Democrats.
Peters is retiring, though.
Yeah, so he's retiring. He's a Democrat. Pretty wide open race to succeed him. And the Democratic primary has three candidates. One of them, Haley Stevens, who's sort of a centrist.
Schumer has endorsed her, and she
Schumer endorsed candidate.
She's supported by AIPAC. And
very, very supported by AIPAC.
And so how will – now, this has the largest Muslim population.
It does. It does.
In the country.
In the country.
And like which brings us to Abdul El Sayed.
Yeah, he is a very impressive, very smart kind of Bernie kind of guy. He used to be public health commissioner.
He actually was on this podcast, and he was very impressive.
No. He's very smart. He was the health commissioner of Detroit for many years. He ran for governor in 2018 against Gretchen Whitmer. He lost in the primary, but, you know, made a pretty good show for himself. Has a real following in college towns like East Lansing and Ann Arbor. And you know, Bernie's with him. I think AOC is with him. I mean, there he has a lot of support from around there. And obviously the Muslim community, I mean, they support him very much too.
Okay, but will Michiganders elect Abdul El Sayed?
I don't know, man.
And will the Muslims in Michigan elect someone like Haley Stevens, who's backed by AIPAC? So that brings us to Mally McMorrow, who is, what is she, a state senator?
Yeah, she's in the legislature now. She's very impressive, I think. I think she's kind of like the compromise candidate. I mean, she's kind of between Stevens and El Sayed. You know, she had a few viral moments, some speeches she gave in the legislature, has had some good ads. Doesn't seem to have really caught fire. I mean, the three of them are pretty bunched. And the problem there is, one, the Republican Mike Rogers is not, he's somewhat acceptable. I mean, he's not a wacko.
He barely lost, right, this
last time. He barely lost last time. He is very, you know, he can very much play a mainstream Republican because that's what he was for many years in Congress, pretty well known around the state. And it's not at all a sure thing that El Sayed supporters will vote for, you know, a non-El Sayed nominee.
Yep.
And vice versa with Haley Stevens. You know, the divide between certainly the Israel, the you know, people who are.
That's why all my listeners should vote for McMorrow.
I really like, I've talked to all of them. I mean, I am very, over the year, I mean, not recently, but I was impressed with McMorrow. I'm impressed with El Sayed too. I mean, they're good candidates. It's just, it's kind of hard to imagine them sort of coming together.
Okay, so let's say we lose in Michigan, that would mean we need to pick up five.
Correct.
Okay. Georgia.
Yeah, it looks pretty safe. I mean, it looks safer than Michigan, I'll tell you that much. I mean,
no, I think Ossoff is running a fucking great campaign.
Yep. Very impressive. Yeah, he and, I mean, the Republicans don't really have their act together down there.
Ossoff has raised corruption. Peter, do we have that clip, the Ossoff clip?
While you pay more for everything, the first family's wealth is growing by billions of dollars. Because they're crooks.
Yeah, he's going
to
win.
Good. I mean, very few Democrats are able to sort of distill things that plainly, I've felt. And he's very compelling.
Okay, let's give that to him.
I think so. I think he could win. I think he should win. I think he's safer. Democrats should feel better about Georgia than they do about Michigan.
North Carolina, same thing, right?
That's pretty
the governor,
safe. Roy Cooper.
Roy Cooper, two-term governor. He's
popular. Yep.
I guess his opponent is well financed, but it's a pickup.
It should be. I mean, Mike Watney, I think is his name, something like that.
Yeah.
He was a former RNC chair, big Trump guy. And Cooper seems to be ahead pretty comfortably in the polls, and North Carolina is pretty purple, and Cooper's pretty popular. So that looks pretty safe, too.
Okay, now let's go to some that are kind of very up in the air. Alaska, that's hard. That's been a Republican state.
Yep, that's up in the air, and that's up in the wilderness. It, you know, weird state.
Dan Sullivan is the senator from there. I've served with him, mm-hmm. and not much to report.
Yeah,
I wasn't on any committee with him, to be fair, but I didn't really get to know him very well. But kind of just a Republican.
He's kind of a Republican. But, you know, in Alaska, you know, can get you pretty far. I guess it's a Republican state.
But she, Mary
Altola is the congresswoman, former congresswoman up there. Now,
it's because she's got, they only have one district, right, in Alaska. Right. So yep. She won a statewide.
She won a statewide. So, yeah. And it's, yeah. So she's pretty proven, very good on, well, good in Alaska on the gun issue, which is that she's very,
pro-gun.
Pro-gun, yeah.
Okay.
Pro-hunting, pro-outdoors. Yeah. Stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. Alaska kind of thing.
I think you'd have to be in Alaska.
Yeah, kind of.
Pro-outdoors.
Yeah, they have a lot of outdoors.
They have a lot of that.
Much of it is outdoors. I remember Sarah Palin, actually, I think, I don't know, it was during one of her last campaigns, during Peltola's last campaign, spoke well of her, I think, for whatever that's worth. So it's a small state. Obviously, the political people know each other. But I was sort of surprised that Sarah Palin said that she had positive feelings for
her. Well, maybe, you know.
So that could happen. Sure.
It could happen. The big one, Texas, Tallarico and Paxton. This is really ugly, right?
Oh, it's going to get really ugly. I mean, it was certainly ugly between John Cornyn and Paxton. I mean, Paxton is much, presumably a much easier Republican for Democrats to beat, just because he's been, you know, he's impeached. He's had all kinds of legal trouble and ethical right. trouble. And Cornyn, you know, Cornyn obviously doesn't like him at all. And Cornyn has had a lot of support there, obviously, among Republicans, so maybe they're going to stay home. The thing is, Tallarico, impressive guy, but not terribly well known across the state. And obviously, Republicans are going to pour all kinds of money trying to, you know, define him in the least Texas-y kind of ways.
Right. Now, what are you hinting at?
I mean, they seem to be hinting at the fact that he's like a vegan, and he's like, I think,
and he isn't a vegan, but they say that.
Like, I think they seem to be implying. I mean, he's single, he's gay, I guess, but I think he's got some girlfriend or something too. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to work. But look, I mean, Texas probably more than other states. You know, you kind of have to. There's like a real sort of. Currency to being of Texas, right? Oh, that's a Texas type. And I'm not sure that the James Tallarico would clear that bar. But
he is Texan. I mean, and he said some things that he's had to explain. He said that God is non-binary.
Yep. Yeah, he said that. He told me, I remember I talked to him about a year ago. He said, I was being deliberately provocative when I said that. This mm-hmm. was years ago. Which is fine. I mean, you know, I guess you could have like a theological discussion about this. And you know, he's a theologian. I mean, he's been to seminary. He talks about Jesus a lot. So he's right. always very thoughtful and eloquent on this subject.
I think he's very thoughtful and eloquent. And
I agree.
I think he's a great candidate. And right now it's tied.
It's tied.
There's a lot to run against there.
A lot to run against there.
And Paxton came within one vote of being convicted in the impeachment.
Yep. No, he's the guy's he's wide open. So, and obviously, you know, like you said, I mean, the Hispanic vote is very big in Texas. And if that turns against Trump the way some of these other indicators are, I mean, it could be really helpful to Tallarico.
Let's go to Ohio. For some reason, I'm sure good, Sherrod Brown, like, is well ahead in polls.
I've seen one who was up like 7, 8, something like that, which yeah. sounded high. I mean, it's Ohio,
right?
Which is pretty red. And so Husted, the lieutenant governor, John Husted, who was appointed.
Became senator, yeah.
Yeah, after J.D. Vance went into the Trump administration. The governor, Mike DeWine, who's Republican, appointed Husted, who was his lieutenant governor, to take the seat. And Husted hasn't really done much. I mean, he's not terribly... you know, he hasn't really lit in this. He hasn't really captured a lot of imaginations, it seems. Hasn't run a great race. And Brown, I mean, is kind of a unicorn Democrat who can actually get elected and has gotten elected in a state that's gotten pretty conservative.
Yeah, he lost by three.
Yeah, in a state that Trump, I think, carried by maybe double digits.
Double digits, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Brown it's a great recruit. I mean, it's he's exactly, if you're a Democrat.
I don't think it was a hard recruit. I mean, he's.
He only lost a couple. He only lost, I guess, in 2024. So he lost to Bernie Moreno.
Three points or something like that.
Yeah. The guy, I mean, you know him. I mean, he's pretty. I mean, the guy really likes being a senator. He's pretty nitty gritty. He's, you know, gets into the weeds.
And fights for working. Folks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mark Leibovich.
You've heard me talk about OneSkin for skincare, but now they've brought the same longevity science to your scalp with OS1 Hair. Hi, this is Al's daughter, Thomason Franken. Whether it's stress, hormones, or just getting older, hair changes happen to all of us. OS1 Hair is a daily scalp serum powered by their proprietary OS1 peptide, and the clinical results are genuinely impressive. 43% increase in hair thickness, 40% increase in hair density, and 75% of customers saw visible new hair growth in just 3 months. Unlike a lot of hair treatments, it's drug-free, water-based, and won't leave your scalp irritated or greasy. So you can use it every day, alone or alongside anything else you're already doing. This is science that's been 10 years in the making from an all-women team of PhDs who built OneSkin from the ground up. Try it for yourself. Get 15% off at oneskin.co/franken with code Franken. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code Franken. And when they ask where you heard about OneSkin, tell them we sent you.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Okay, so Iowa.
Mm.
This one is really interesting to me because I'm Minnesota, and Iowa used to be, I think Obama took Iowa twice, right?
Twice, yeah, maybe. Yep. I know he did in, he did in 08. I guess maybe he didn't know in 12. I don't know. But Trump's
well, take it from me. Take it from me.
I'll take it from you.
Okay, I looked this up.
Oh, okay.
Well, I took the time to look. All right. Okay. The Democrats haven't won a Senate seat since Harkin.
It harkens back to the last time Tom won a race. See what I did there, Al? I made a pun.
Harkens back. Oh, I see. That's terrible. Cut that out, Peter.
No. Embarrassing. Didn't you used to be a comedian?
I used to be. Yeah. Okay. But you never were. Anyway, so this guy, Josh Turek.
Yeah.
He wins in a race against a kind of a more liberal guy.
Yeah.
And people in Iowa, I think, voted for Turek for a number of reasons. Turek has an interesting study, right? He has spina bifida.
Yeah. He's in a wheelchair. I think he's a Paralympic. Or something? What, is that the word?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's Paralympic, but he's won a couple gold medals.
Sounds pretty good to me.
In basketball. And so he's cool. He evidently drag his wheelchair up steps to go knock on people's door. And
that's good. You know, I mean, look, I mean, he was a big recruit. I mean, the DS, whatever, the
SEC,
they wanted him. He won, and I guess he's going against this woman Hinson, as congresswoman. It's an open seat. I mean, Joni Ernst,
she ran a really terrible ad against him. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, did she? I didn't see that.
Already, like the next day, he voted. He's in the state legislature, and he voted against a bill that required schools to notify parents if students requested a different pronoun. So they take an ad against him, but in the ad, they make it look like he voted against telling parents that their kids are getting a surgical sex change.
Oh, that's a bit of a jump.
That is a bit of a jump. They show the video of it is surgery. An operating theater and surgeons working on somebody. We don't know who they're working on. So
that's pretty dark. Yeah. No, I mean, Iowa, look, I mean, Trump seems to be having some real problems in Iowa.
Iowa's had a very tough time, especially the farmers. They're hit by tariffs and, of course, by the war, the price of gas and diesel and fertilizer.
They seem to be over Trump a little bit, but who knows, right?
Okay, let's go to Maine and Graham Plattner. There's some drama there.
Yes. So Plattner won the primary, which was not a surprise because his competition, Democratic Governor Janet Mills, had suspended her campaign a few weeks ago and was not campaigning.
But when the new accusations came out, she said, I suspended it, but I'm still on the ballot.
But I'm still on the ballot. And she didn't endorse him. I don't think, unless she did today.
She should soon.
Yeah. It's sort of glaring that she hasn't.
So what did you hear from this? Can we play something from the speech, Peter?
You have lifted me up. You have had my back. This is the state that raised me. And this is the state that saved me.
I thought it was a pretty powerful speech.
He's a talented guy. I mean, he's a very talented politician. Obviously gotten a lot of attention. But for better or worse. But no, look, I mean, this guy, it's interesting. I was talking to someone about this earlier. There's probably something to be said for being like the biggest topic of conversation in politics, probably across the country, other than maybe, I don't know, the Texas race, Tallarico, Paxton. But I mean, this is just wall to wall Graham Plattner. And, you know, Collins is like, oh yeah, Collins, we know her. And, you know, she's been durable. She's lost. She's beaten every flavor of Democrat over a few decades, right? Progressives, centrists, men, women, what have you. But Plattner is very new, and he's very, I think he's excited a lot of people up there, progressives certainly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got some Trump voters because I think he seems probably pretty familiar to them. Not just because he's, you know, has some real un-PC stuff in his record.
to say the least. Yeah. But it's going to be a close one. And unfortunately, she has pulled it out. I served with her and was not a big fan, of course. And she, voted for Kavanaugh and assured us that he would not vote to undo Roe v. Wade.
Let me ask you this. What do you think could happen there? I mean, you know, Maine. I mean, you've spent time.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in Maine. My wife grew up there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just going to be a very close race.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously Collins has got that state wired. I mean, she knows the little towns and she knows the people.
Nope. But anyway. Going for a sixth term.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And then finally, Minnesota.
Great state.
The greatest. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who worked for me. She was my Indian Affairs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Advisor. Yeah. And she's my pick. Peggy won the Democratic Farmer Labor endorsement at the convention, and she's got an opponent in the primary.
Angie Craig is the
Angie Craig is a congresswoman from a pretty purple district. She's more conservative than Peggy. She voted for Laken Riley, and she's running in this primary. She's got money from crypto and AIPAC and AI. But Peggy's ahead in the polls, and Democrats in Minnesota are pretty liberal, and Peggy's gonna win this.
Yeah, who's the competition? Who's going to be the Republican? Is it this Michelle Tafoya person? Isn't that the sideline reporter?
Well, not exactly. Tafoya didn't get the endorsement at the Republican state convention. That went to a former Navy SEAL, Adam Swarzy, who's very anti-abortion. Tafoya is for allowing abortions in the first trimester.
And she's got more money than he does. And she is very well known in the state because from her career. But this is going to go to Peggy.
And she's pretty popular too, right? It seems like Flanagan.
Yeah. Yeah. And Flanagan is, she's a great legislator, which is, of course, yeah, what the job is. She,
go figure. It's actually what the job is.
Yeah. I mean, she's done a lot of great things.
She did paid family leave. She did minimum wage index. This is going to be Peggy.
Yep. Totally.
Well, I want to ask you one last thing, and then I know you're Tom Kane Jr.
Where the hell is he?
Here's the question. He says he has a health issue, but he'll be back. Okay. But what the hell could it be? And I hope it's nothing too serious. But
sure, hopefully not. I mean, you would think that when you're not telling anyone, you're being so quiet about it. It's either some kind of, I don't know, something you would something you would expect there to be a stigma around, like, I don't know, drug addiction or some kind of cosmetic surgery gone awry. I mean, something that would be embarrassing to talk about, but who knows? It's mysterious as all hell.
Well, I think he loses that seat.
you would think. I mean, yeah. Otherwise, though, it could be he could open the door for congressional candidates to just disappear for months at a time and yet still be reelected, which is actually sort of what a lot of them do anyway.
Okay, so let's get some closing thoughts from you.
All right.
Thank you for having been on the show all these years. We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, my closing thoughts are just that. I mean, I'm honored to be a friend of the Al Franken podcast, and it's a great podcast, and I'm glad to have been on a bunch of times. People always say, hey, I love listening to you on Al's podcast. So, look, I mean, I think this has been a great run, and look, politics isn't going anywhere. We can always there will be plenty of stuff to talk about going forward. So,
all right,
so we can put up emergency podcasts at month's notice if anyone's out there waiting.
Well, thank you, my friend.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you guys. Talk to you down the road.
All righty. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.